You're listening to Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, episode 33. I'm Matt Brill, and today we're joined by a good friend of mine, somebody that I've gotten to work a little bit with over the years. She is a queen of radio promotion, has been in it for 20 years, spent a lot of time at Duncan Promotions with the Jerry Duncan Promotions team, Duncan Music Group, and now she is the director of secondary promotion for Big Loud Records. We got our girl Lisa Smoot with us. Thank you for doing this. And go Tigers.
Go Tigers, I know.
I know, like we said, when you got out of the car, I know that you love me and want to do this because Memphis is in the
AAC tournament right now. Because I roll 901. I'm from Memphis.
Yeah.
And I'm hardcore. I mean, I've got some custom penny Nikes.
Wow.
High tops, that, you know, with a little 1 cent penny on them. I only wear them for finals.
Only wearing for fun.
Yeah, the bottoms are so clean you can lick them.
Wow.
I mean, I don't, yeah. And then I've got custom made Chucks with my red, yeah.
That's awesome.
Hardcore, so.
So you're originally from the Memphis area.
I am.
What was it like starting life out there and growing up in West Tennessee?
I love Memphis. I love the heritage of Memphis. I say I won't move back.
Yeah.
You know, I get street cred just for getting out, you know.
Yeah. Different place.
It's a different place, but... You know, Memphis was great, and it's got such a rich musical history.
Yeah.
And that's where I fell in love with it. You know, going down to Beale Street when I was 18, trying to sneak into bars to, you know, listen to the great music. And it's kind of like where blues mixed with country, mixed with rock.
I mean, look at
Elvis. I mean, yeah, no, Memphis is amazing.
Yeah, and to see, like, that's one of the early, like, mega record labels of back in the day when the mega studios was Sun Records.
Yeah, oh, Sun.
It started in part of that. Like, so much of what we have today comes rooted in Memphis.
I know, that sound. And, you know, I was on the way over here, I was thinking, man, they don't call it's Memphis in May, and they don't call it Beale Street Music Festival anymore. I don't remember what they call it, but they changed it just over the past couple of years, but I was thinking, man, do I want to go down there for that? Because they've got like Missy Elliott coming in.
Yeah.
And I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan's last performance at Memphis in May before he died, and I still have my mud-caked shoes.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm claustrophobic, and I made it to the front of the stage. And I'm just, I mean, and it rained, and it smelled like dog shit,
yeah,
and sweat and mud.
Yeah.
I was in up to my knees, like not really, but my calves in mud. And the Spago shoes used to tight roll your jeans and shit. And
yeah.
In a box in my attic.
Yeah, we call that front row or don't go. That's one of our Raised Rowdy sayings. There's something about being up there in the pit and seeing your favorite acts and to have that legendary moment. So what led you to, one, coming out here to Nashville? Because being in West Tennessee, you could have the option of commuting out here as you need to for meetings. And I'm sure that's kind of how it started, but... How do you end up in the world, the magical world that is country radio promotions?
It's crazy. I wanted to go into radio. That's what I wanted to do.
Okay, same.
Yeah. I know. I flunked my freshman year of high school, and I had to go to summer school. But I had to take, like, math or something. And Memphis had a city station at Craigmont High School.
Okay.
88.3, I think. And so they had an elective you could take, which was broadcasting journalism. My grandmother's like, you're going to take two classes because I'm not dropping you off for one and coming back to get you. I'm like, great. And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely fell in love with it. And Henry Nelson was my teacher, and he's a huge, you know, radio personality in Memphis. And so, long story longer, the news girl didn't show up.
Yeah.
And I was the only one there. They're like, you're doing news. And this is old school, like AP print off, like, and you had to, like, write it down and everything. And I did it, thought I was great. I was so happy with myself. And I walked out, and this old bastard that ran that station, he was like, you'll never make it in radio. You're female and you're too nasal. I was 14. Crushed me. I was like, because I was one of those kids, you know, taping everything off the radio.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, all that. Went into the medical field.
Wow.
Yeah. And so my mother's fourth marriage was Jerry Duncan.
No way.
Yeah, it was Jerry Duncan. They married in the 90s. And... You know, it was crazy. Anyway, God loved that man. He is a great man. He is my dad.
Yeah.
He is my dad. And so long story longer. Yeah. My mother had hip replacement surgery in 04 and developed staph infection. And wow. He couldn't take off work because it was his company, and I had the medical background. So I took a hiatus and came up here in November of 04 to help her. And my husband's like, you know, Memphis is getting kind of rough. Why don't we put the house on the market and see what happens?
Yeah.
Sold the first day.
Wow.
We had 30 days to get out. December 31st, we had to be out. And I was like, shit, what am I going to, you know? And Jerry's like, hey, my girl just quit. I need somebody. You wanted to do radio. People said, you know, everybody's like, you'll be great at this and do it. And I was like, I don't know about working for family because my mother and I were oil and water. I loved her. But he's like, 6 months. If I don't like it, I'll tell you. If you don't like it, you tell me and we're good. Yeah. And 20 years later, here I am. So, you know, absolutely love it. I get the best of both worlds.
Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. And it's all in timing.
Yeah.
All in timing. So, but yeah, that was 20 years ago. And I've got to see some, like, great things. My first big artist my first number one was Jason Aldean's Why.
Wow.
That was my personal first number one. And then the company just reached the 100th number one with Ashley Cook's Your Place. So, yeah, it's been a ride to see an artist from sitting here with you selling out stadiums.
Yeah.
That's the joy. Seeing something before everybody else does,
yeah,
and getting it out to the world,
yeah,
because
absolutely,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, like on the list of some of the campaigns, you coming in 05, Nashville wasn't quite what it is now. Very different place 20 years later.
Oh,
but,
I know.
But the music and the artists that were breaking in the mid 2000s, that's where you have your rise of your Aldeans, your Mirandas, your Carries, your Blakes, your Luke Bryans. That's all bubbling up around that time.
Exactly.
And so for you to have the Jason connection, that's awesome. And then I know you've done stuff with like Blake, Brad Paisley, Tim McGraw was a monster at that time. Toby and the heyday of the Toby Keith era.
Oh, yeah.
Martina McBride.
Like, oh, yeah.
You got to be a part of that chapter. And then it transitions in 2012 with the Bro Country stuff. And then it starts going boom from there.
Yeah. I remember the day that Seth England and Craig Wiseman brought in Tyler and BK to the office to play this song for us called Cruise. And, you know, they sat in the office and I actually had it on my phone, the video of the acoustic version of Cruise for years until I dropped it off a ski slope. I didn't have it backed up to the cloud and I was so pissed. But I've made two predictions in my 20 years.
Yeah.
The first was after that meeting with Seth and Craig, I looked at Seth, I said, they'll play Madison Square Garden within 5 years.
Yeah, I was at that show.
In
Madison Square Garden. Oh, it was on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I was there.
And then my second prediction, I told Morgan and Seth and Kevin Neal at WME, I said, Whiskey Glasses is the song that's going to break Morgan. I've got two to my credit in 20 years. So yeah. I've got another one coming. I've got there's something I need to protect in the next 10. So, but just to see that, like when Morgan played Nissan, I cried like I had given birth to this boy. My husband's like, are you okay? You have a migraine? Which I was like, just to see him just up there just doing his thing. Man, that's the gratification that I get is just being able to see those beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we pride ourselves at with Raise Rowdy. We've become like an incubator, like entrenched ourselves in the scene. And the scene has always been so important here in town, whether it's what Ward does with Whiskey Jam or what Big Rob used to do with Revival or Randy McFadden with Threesome Thursdays. And now like guys like us or Mark Addison Chandler with Grounders. There's so many different like events where you get to watch these kids come up.
Yeah, and exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I actually made it to a show over at Duck Blind.
Yeah, Will Wright was playing, J.D. Wise, Hudson McCready, the next kid out of East Tennessee. Like,
I know, and it's crazy because I met Will at a show in Lexington, Kentucky, and it was a Riley Green, Chase McDaniel show because I worked with Chase McDaniel before.
Love him.
Oh,
what a
that's
great
my
guy.
Boy.
I love that kid.
Auntie Lisa loves him.
Yeah.
But met him at that show. He saw my All Access badge and started chatting me up and just stayed in touch with him and his family. And, you know, I'm always out to help people. I'm one of those. I've seen too many great artists taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So, you know, any advice I can help with anyone to get them on the right road, not that I'm perfect, but I'm going to tell you, you know, what I know and what has worked and what I've seen artists do. So that's how I met Will.
Yeah.
Great
so
show.
So to go from, so you start out as a promotions coordinator. What is a promotions coordinator role like when you start now?
So promotions coordinator, it's basically, you know, assisting.
Okay.
Well, labels are going to be different than independent.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we've got our big loud thing, but in a small independent company like that, promotions coordinator is basically helping the boss, you know, getting everything ready to go to radio, making sure you have all the assets. And back in the day, you know, 2004, it was so different than now. You know, back then you had CDX, the CDX CD that shipped to radio.
Yeah, the hit disc, if you
the
will.
The hit
we
disc.
We used to get the hit disc at my college station. We would jam out to whatever was on there.
It was the 2000 version of the KTEL album.
Yep.
You know, from
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, yeah. So, you know, getting all the assets ready and getting them over to CDX and getting it out to radio and then just, you know, calling the stations and saying, hey, we've got this new artist, Jason Aldean, you know, and... You know, and oh, the name, getting them to pronounce the name correctly was crazy.
Oh, with Morgan, I could see that.
Yeah.
With Waylon or Wallen. And
yeah.
Then Aldean or
Aldean or Aldean. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. But just to see the potential growth, and the one thing we specialized in was secondary markets.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you think of like, promotions and charts, you know, everybody wants the big chart, media base, air check, media base, monitored, billboard. And we worked the outlier. So we didn't really have SIX. We would have like WCZ in Carthage, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or like stations in Jackson or Dixon. And those are the stations we called. So it would be a grassroots effort. So as a promotions coordinator, I would, you know, kind of line up these stations to call and started a grassroots effort and just blow it up. I mean, that's what we did with like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You know, we started Saki Bottom Boys at non-reporting stations. I'm talking 400, 500 watt stations. Same thing with Three Wooden Crosses.
Wow.
You know, those started and just blew up. So it's just getting everything coordinated and ready to go to radio and, you know, hoping and praying that you're doing enough work behind a single to help it push out to the masses.
Yeah. And then getting the bigger markets to pick it up.
The bigger markets to pick it up. Yeah. Because I think with like FGL and Cruise, we worked that single. If I'm not mistaken, we had it top 20 before, you know, Republic even stepped in.
Which is crazy.
Which is nuts, yeah. So that's gratification.
Yeah.
My gratification is helping people reach their dreams and their achievements.
Yeah.
Jerry always used to say, you know, when we take on an artist, we have their dreams in our hands, and it's up to us how hard we work along with their product and what they're doing to help them fulfill that and to reach the masses. Because everybody remembers the first time they heard a song, whether they love it or they hate it.
Yeah.
You know, so just knowing that you have that kind of impact and making sure you do your job to help support that.
But yeah, that's wild. And then you did nine years as the director of promotions.
Nine years.
You get the director title.
I got the director title. I think that was more of a, Jerry was like, I really don't have the money to give you a raise, so here's a title. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, director took on a little more role, just kind of worked in the coordinator, kind of hired someone, trained them on that. And the director, I'm more, went out on the road with artists to stations.
So you're on radio tour.
I'm on radio tour.
What was that like?
It was an experience. That's when I finally came to Jerry and said, no, from now on, they have a trial in office. We bring in, you know, somebody, a local radio guy, to do a mock interview because there were a couple of artists. I was like, dude, you cannot go in smelling like a bag of weed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, that's fine. And I mean, I don't care because I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it, you know, and you have to understand it's a job interview.
Yeah.
When you go into these stations, you can't just wake up out of the back of your van and roll in smelling like, you know, 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And so trying to condition new artists that really don't have that experience with radio, you know, I had... The worst one ever was this woman, I call her, she just thought she was it, and she was late to everything. And she showed up late. Luckily, I wasn't on the road with her. Let me just say that. And she showed up late, and she was mad because they wouldn't see her. And she went in and said, no, I made it here. you know, you need to see me. And dude's like, no. And he called me and I just was like, no, you got to leave. You're on, they're on a time clock. Yeah. This is a job interview. You're fired.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, we've had some great ones. I went with Chase McDaniel out to WOOZ in Carterville, Indiana. Indiana, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great. I mean, great show, but he's in the ultimate professional.
Yes.
So, and I
love his story's unlike anything else, too. And that's the thing is you get to develop the artist brand with to the program directors, to the OMs, the PDs, the brand managers.
Exactly.
And that's a huge thing. That's just as big. You're building fans with the people who control how much they're getting heard in that town.
Exactly. And that's another reason I love my medium and small markets. I will die on this hill that medium and small market is so viable because they have more freedom to play more artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could, okay, I'm going to use Chase as an example. Let's say, you know, on the road with Chase and, you know, he could headline a tour at WOOZ or he could be like support for something in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's going to be about the same amount of money, but he's going to have all those people at WOOZ there to see him and see him only.
Yeah.
You know, and to build that fan base because they're going to remember all the time that he took with them after the show. That was like Joe's on Weed Street.
Oh, yeah. I love that place. Love Ed Worm. Love everybody that's up there.
Love it.
It's one of my favorite spots.
Oh, I know. But Chase's meet and greet line was, it reminded me of Garth Brooks in the 90s at Fanfare when he waited. He like signed autographs for like 12 hours that day or something.
I mean, crazy.
Chase's line was around the corner and he spent time with everyone. And it's appreciating your fans and knowing where you come from. And where you want to go, and knowing that they're the ones that are going to help get you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a collective. It's a family thing. That's what I love about country. There's no other genre like our genre.
Yeah. That's what got me hooked was I grew up, my first concert ever was Tim McGraw in 2003 on his, it was when he didn't have any openers out with him, and he was playing like 2-hour sets. It was 2003 McGraw. I was 8 years old. I saw him at the Continental Arenas and the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Stadium. It was a school night. I remember going to school the next day with my glow stick, just yawning all day. my grandparents were cool for taking me there and everything. But it's like, it's just wild to see all that.
I know. And, okay, I'm going to blow your mind. My first concert was Elvis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was
a
9.
Girl. Wow.
My mother's date stood her up, so she took me.
Yeah. That's wild. But amazing. Yeah, like growing into like the country stuff, I had a little 25-watt college radio station, WRRC 107.7 The Bronx, the Rider University. And I was able to build connections. Like I was able to get guys because I was there 2013 to 2017. Like we actually saw FGL at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. And it was them, Dallas Smith, and Colt Ford. And Colt Ford, we built a relationship with Tony from Average Joe's at the time. And just the way that they treated my little college radio ass on a 25-watt college station, spins don't count for nothing. Like, I'm just doing a little show, making the CDs and putting them on there, whatever.
Yeah.
And they treat me like family. Like, Mike Krennic from EMI was always great to me with Brothers Osborne, Eric Church. I got to meet Eric Church as a college kid.
Yeah.
And that's just the relationship that you guys do with anybody that's in radio. It is like a family thing. I don't think any other format has that.
It is. And that, the relationships, I mean, there are guys that I've talked to for 20 years. Same guy at the same station. You know, I talked to them more than I talked to my brother.
Yeah.
You know, and then there, you know, new guys coming in fresh, you know, just from whatever college or just internships, and I'm like, you know, trying to help break them in and go, okay, do this, what you need to do.
Yeah.
You need to pace yourself kind of thing. But I have to look at it as if I would do it for free.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you know you're happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, God love Seth, because Seth England, his vision, Seth and Joey and Craig, you know, they are, I think we're the only label that has someone working in secondary, because airplay is airplay is airplay and getting it out to the masses and its audience.
Yeah. What's it been like now officially, because you've known those guys for years, going back to the FGL, the mm-hmm. Jake Owens, the early days of Big Loud, when like Joey, for example, leaves the rock world and comes into country, and you meet them back then, to now be working on the Big Loud team as the director of secondary?
It's a dream come true. You know, most people, okay, I'm telling my age now. I'm the oldest person in the office. I'm not going to act like it. And Seth warned HR coming in. He's like, she may be in there within the first week, but it's okay. She gets one free pass. Luckily, I haven't been in there yet. I've made really good friends with
good
the HR
job,
person.
Yeah, we'll knock
I know, right? But it's a dream come true. I get to focus on what I want to do, and that's just, you know, work great music, hear great music, yeah. go to great shows, work with a great team, Stacy and Tyler and all the regionals and the digital department. I'm learning so much.
Oh, yeah.
You learn 57 years old.
Yeah, and it's the way that they know how to use both data and the eye and ear test. And because it's a balance of that, because obviously, like, streaming numbers and social numbers and this and that, but then you got to go out and be like, what watch the artist play live.
Right.
And they do a good job of balancing that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and we've actually kind of, so I've got two artists in particular that we're working strictly to the secondary markets right now, and that's Charles Wesley Godwin and Cassius Culpepper.
Oh, two incredible. You talk about songwriters, dude. And you talk about you see them live and you're hooked. Unbelievable.
Oh, I know. I saw Charles Wesley Godwin for the first time. I think he played Ryman, 3 years ago
now? I think
now?
It was about that, yeah.
And I was blown away. Yeah. There were grown men at the Ryman in front of me. All I can say is jigging. They were up dancing because you know he does that jam session. And
Allegheny 8 that he has with him.
Yes.
Yeah, that band is unbelievable.
Oh, man. I was sold then, you know, and just having the privilege to hear this new music and to have these artists and see them again start hearing them blow up.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing I have noticed is it's changed a little bit because we have the digital story. We have all the socials. It's getting that radio story.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I come is to help build that story with my markets to get it to the bigger markets.
Yeah. Now, talking, obviously, radio has changed a lot in 20 years. And
yeah.
But what's cool, there's still, like, so much positivity within it. Like, this year was my first year going to CRS. I'd always dreamed of going because I moved down here wanting to promote, be a promo assistant or whatever with 103.3. I remember emailing back and forth with John Shambi. And I remember trying to figure out. I could never, at that point when I moved down in 2018, it was downsizing quite a bit and whatever. But, like, there's so much like advancement and evolution going mm-hmm. on right now. But where do you think the status is of radio? Somebody who's been in the game for 20 years now, and even earlier than that.
Cause like,
you saw it when you were 14 years old going into a station. Like,
I know.
You remember putting in like the manual track.
Oh yeah.
No automation. Like you have to be on your stuff.
Oh yeah.
No long bathroom breaks. They're not just quick little 5 1-minute hits in an hour. You're in there.
Oh, I know. And, you know, thinking back, the last, I guess, artist that radio really helped break was FGL.
Yeah.
That was radio driven. To me, Morgan started at radio and then shifted to digital.
Yeah.
You know, and radio is still very viable. I mean, and again, this is why I'm very partial to my small and medium markets.
Yeah.
So this is, I guess, a selling point of some of, you know, well, why secondary? You know, they're not weighted. They're not on the big. So grandma or mom's taking their kid to school. You know, they're driving and WGLR in Platteville, Wisconsin. And he's playing some Charles Wesley Godwin. And it's on mom's station. But the, you know, senior in the back seat is like, damn, my mom's kind of cool because she's listening to the same stuff I'm streaming on Spotify.
Yeah.
So not only does it bring families together, it helps, I guess, cross-pollinate different, I guess, age groups.
Yeah.
You know, Gen Xers, millennials, Gen Z. So there's a reason for these stations out there. They're local, you know?
Yeah, the hyper-local part of it. Because nothing against the big guys.
No, nothing against the
nationally syndicated guys and girls are there for a reason. They are really good at what they do.
They are, and that's why they're where they are.
Yeah.
You know, and they're great markets, and they've got smaller stations that I call in different cities.
Yeah, where they're still on, but there's something about hearing so-and-so that's living in that community, that's at that club show or at that honky tonk show,
yeah,
or making an appearance at that local festival that's happening in, say, like La Crosse, Wisconsin, or something like that. There's something about for the listener to on-air personality relationship in those markets that's so strong.
Oh, yeah. And still getting, you know, your birthday call outs, your anniversary call outs. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'm on hold for a programmer and I'm getting a hog report. I mean, it's great, you know, and you've got farmers and, you know, that's another thing I noticed, too, is like the farmers like Nebraska. Okay. KRVN, huge farming station.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over there with Adam.
And well, that Adam Smith, shout out, by the way.
I love that guy.
I love Adam Smith.
Adam's my brother from another mother.
One of my favorites.
God, I love him. Yeah. He does need to play a little more Cassius, though, that's all I'm saying. All right, Adam. No more drunk texts. I'll never forget. I did drunk text him from an event one night. And he's like, dude, are you going to add, like, my Chris Lane, please? I need some air. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I've done a lot of drunk text programmers. Anyway,
the farm stuff in Nebraska.
The farm stuff, and, you know, they're in their combines or whatever, and now, you know, they have XM, but they also have their local radio. And so we're reaching these farmers out there that are, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And Adam is a huge part of that. His stations are a huge part of helping bring these artists to other areas that wouldn't be reached.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. to the remote areas, and then does a great job with shows in Kearney, Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a huge thing, too. I think radio translates to tickets.
Yes.
Big time. And that's a huge thing, and that's part of what I've done is getting – there's something about tying in a station visit or a giveaway or a phoner or a meet and greet or some kind of experience, especially you talk about the secondary markets. Mm-hmm. You go to a show in Manhattan, Kansas at the Hat. And it's like there's something about working with that local station and it taps you into that market to where you build that fan base. And then that fan base grows and grows and grows. And then they're driving out to Kansas City or wherever to come and see you on the bigger show as you grow.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely. I've got a video on my phone of Morgan 2018 in a bar. I don't even remember where we were, you know? And just it's like it's packed, but people are like stage and we're like right here with Morgan Wallen, you know? Yeah. And now, today, Nissan Stadium, you know, you're in the pit, and that's about as close as
you're gonna
get.
I saw Morgan, it was when he was doing, I never fully worked with them, but Thunder 106, mm-hmm. WKMK, up in the Jersey Shore. I was close with them, because I never worked country on the commercial side, just had the college show, but I was still, like, in the scene up there.
Yeah.
I remember we had Morgan at Jenks Club in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, with a Thunder 106 Presents. And I remember Nikki Wood being up there.
I love
Nikki. She was always very, very, very good to me when I was up there in the Northeast. And I remember watching Morgan. He's wearing an FGL Smooth Tour baseball jersey and a fitted hat. And he still has Luke and a lot of the guys in his band that were with him back then. And just watching that night and playing a Wednesday night in Jenks Club. I got to do a little podunk phone video interview with him that night after. So like Nick, again, she treated me like royalty.
Yeah.
And I was just a college radio kid.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable to watch where that's gone.
Nikki is like what all of the regionals at Big Loud are perfect. I mean, they're great people. But I'm a little partial to Nikki because she's Memphis too.
And I was going to say, I know she's a Memphis girl.
She's a Memphis girl. So, I've learned so much. I mean, after doing this 20 years, just from Nikki and Kelly and Sarah and John and Dave and just them taking me under their wing to help me learn the label side of things because it's
a different thing.
It is a different thing, you know, and I came in kind of with, I don't want to say imposter syndrome, but I was like, I know what I've been doing for 20 years and this is a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
But it's a family. I would have never closed my business for any other label.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I've never been happier. And the fact that they see the value in airplay and the secondary markets is huge. I mean, I had a couple of PDs email Stacy saying, we really appreciate you focusing on our markets.
So. Yeah, and there's, and like I said, there's venues out there, and that's how you can break an artist is through the small markets, and you grow the small markets, and those turn into the bigger markets.
Exactly.
And the small markets will get in their trucks or their cars and convoy out to those bigger markets and those bigger shows. What qualities make for a good regional or a good secondary, a good promoter? Like, what do you need? What kind of tools do you think you need as somebody on that side to push a song to radio? Like, what does it take to really get it there as far as like an individual looking to get into somebody looking to get into the music business? Like, what do you need to have to get into that world?
Well, you need to have a personality. At the end of that sounds crazy, but
no,
you've got
truth.
To be able to get along with everybody. It's all relationship based. You know, you're working with these markets, and like our regionals have about 30 stations each. I cover right at 132. So I don't have that. I have a key relationship with a lot of my programmers, but not like they do.
Yeah.
You know, and being ready to, you know, get out there and tour with your artist and taking them to radio and doing the meet and greets and knowing your stats and knowing their history and, you know, knowing what's going to work for that station that you're with in your region. So it's a whole different world because most people, you know, go from working at a label and then running their own company. I went from running a company to a label.
Yeah.
So it's been a learning curve, but just teamwork, knowing your shit, and getting out there and hustling.
Yeah.
I mean, that the one thing about the Big Loud promo team is they hustle.
Yeah.
They are on it. Did I answer that question?
Yes,
I feel like I rambled. ADD is kicking in,
Dave. I have it too. So
I think radio is the perfect, radio and promotion are the perfect things for people with ADD. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's why I've always felt at home. I wanted to go into sports. And then the reason that I got into the music stuff was one, because I loved it. But two, the relationship, I just felt at home, like, because it's, again, building the relationships with people. How important is it to have a good relationship with your artists that you're pushing? Because I feel like that's a big thing when you're connected to it.
Yeah.
You're going to push that much harder.
Oh, yeah. You're going to push that much harder. And that's one thing, you know, I can say about artists. One thing I've noticed is our artists are out there to work.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a relationship with every regional because each regional has taken them out to their different shows. But knowing how it's just like family kind of, you know, it's like I would treat my mom a little different than I would treat my dad, knowing what my dad needs versus my mom.
Yeah.
And knowing, you know, how to transition between that, how to help, you know, Ashley Cook with what she needs on the road, or, you know, helping Cassius Culpepper with what he needs on the road. So it's knowing the individual and what they need and how to multitask and how to get done what needs to be done when you're in a crunch and you may not have those assets. Thinking quick on your feet.
Yeah.
Is that, I feel like I'm rambling now.
No, you're doing great. This is exactly why I wanted to have you on here. You're dropping knowledge to the people.
I don't know about all that, but I'll try.
You are. What are some of your things that you're noticing as far as like trends in Nashville? Because the sounds, like the genre is all over the place right now. And you see it, especially at Big Loud, because like, and everything's working in its own lane. Like the Cassius Charles songwriter, borderline Americana stuff can work, but so can your Ashley Cooks of the world. So can your Ernest. Of course, Morgan's a trendsetter. Hardy's a trendsetter. Like, you're seeing like what Ern's doing with his Cadillac guys. Like, it's cool to see. But what trends are you seeing and like most excited about of like the kids that are coming up right now?
You know, the kids that are coming, and this is going to go back to the songwriters round at the Duck Blunt. It's like they're growing up, so they've got all this collective, like, music genres that they're growing up on.
Yeah.
You know, like Chappelle Roan. I mean,
yeah.
Did I say her name?
Chappell Roan.
Chappell. What? I'm thinking Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. I get it.
Look, I'm from Memphis, so I'm thinking Dave.
It's spelled the same damn way, too. That's what's funny.
Tomato, tomato, Chappelle.
Yeah.
Chappelle.
Yeah, Chappell Roan. Yeah.
Yeah. Chalamet. I'm sorry. God. Anyway.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is what I get for smoking too much weed back in college and for getting high last night and not getting enough sleep.
Anyway. Hell yeah. Hey, I do the same thing.
But they have so much exposure, these new songwriters coming up. And so the trend is it's a fusion, you know, yeah. Not, they're not going to do like the Americana sound, like the Sarah Farrells or Benjamin Todd's. And then they've got, you know, the Morgan influences, and they got the Riley Green influences, and it's just a mosh pit of just great sound and great music. And I'm just excited to see who comes up with the next, I guess, big thing, yeah. You know, because you had, you know, the bro country thing, and then you had like your kind of Americana thing come up. Who's going to be like the next Stapleton, or, you know, the next FGL, or the next Aldean, or the next Morgan?
Yeah. Because there's still like influences in all of it. Like the South Georgia guys are very influenced by your FGLs and your Luke Bryans. They want songs that like just songs that the country boy or girl is going to cry to or drink a beer to.
I know.
That's what they are. And then there's like the 90s resurgence right now. The 90s, early 2000s resurgence with the Zach Top thing and guys like Cole Goodwin. And there's like all these kids coming up. Mae Estes on the female side that are doing that kind of thing. But yeah, what's the next thing going to be, or is it always now from now on going to be like a hybrid of a few different things?
I think it's going to be a hybrid of a few different things. You know, I don't understand why it has to be like an Americana station or a country pop station, or, you know, an oldie station, or, you know, let's just blend it all in.
Yeah.
Because if you look at playlists, Spotify playlists of people, it's not, they don't break it down by 90s country, 2000s country or whatever. I mean, my playlist goes from Dre, Kumo D, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Celtic Lullabies, to Morgan, to Charles, Wesley Godwin, to Sierra Farrell, to some random dude I just learned about last week. I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the vibe of music and the music speaking to people. So I think it's always, I think it's going to merge more. I think you're going to see a little more open playlists on radio.
Yeah.
You know, even big corporate radio, because, you know, Zach Top, you know, that's very 90s sound, but they're blending it in.
Yeah.
So
that excites me.
It does. It excites me. And, you know, what excites me is the fact that we have so much out there that is untapped.
Yeah.
You know, like the guys that your songwriters around. I mean, I want to see them in like 6 months, in a year.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love. I love, if it were up to me, I'd have those kids every week because they're so damn good.
Yeah.
But I love spacing it out because, one, you want to give other people a shot to play and mix it around and everything. But I have those kids back. Like, I have Will, JD, and Hudson come back in like a few months. They're growing that much more into their sound. Those kids are so young that they they're just scratching the surface, but the surface of what they they can do. And it's like, it's so cool to watch that grow, because you'll have somebody and then 6 months later, they're like, oh, they're figuring out what their sound is.
Yeah. And what that next crew is going to be, like your Ernest, Hardy, you know, Morgan crew and all those guys.
Oh, there's so many crews coming up right now. And that's right now the trend that, because Nick and I get asked all the time, like we're very much like different labels or folks will come out to us and say, hey, what do you see? Because we're literally the boots on the ground. We're doing 10 damn events a month, and we're going to shows. Like, we see a kid we like playing at the Basement or the End or Basement East, or we're buying the tickets and we're front row and we're watching. Like, we love just going to shows too. But there is the females 25 and younger right now. There are some bad bitches. They got attitude. They're learning from the Ellas, the Meg Maronis, the Ashley Cooks, like people that are, they're writing raw lyrics. They're badass on stage. Like, there are some the females right now are something that we're seeing, where powerhouse vocals, incredible storytelling. So it's like that. And it's cool because a lot of them are friends.
Yeah.
So it's again, like a crew.
It is. That's kind of, I saw like Haley Witters.
Yeah.
And Lauren Watkins are two of my favorite females coming up. You know, and then I love Sierra Farrell.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, and Brittany Spencer.
Yeah, oh yeah. Again, the voice is undeniable, and it stretches.
Oh, I know.
It's like blending the country and the gospel.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it speaks to the soul.
Yeah, it really does.
Everything speaks to the soul, whether you like it or not. It could be one of those days when you have a really dark soul, and you're like, fuck it, I don't like this. Or it can be a day when you're having a really good soul day, and you're like, I'm digging it.
Yeah.
You know, something you never thought you'd listen to.
Yeah, that's wild. What would you tell the girl that came out here to help her mama when she was 20 years ago? And you look back and now this journey that you've been on, and you go and help out Jerry, and you do your thing, and you're figuring it out, and kind of that extra hand in the office to get stuff done, to now having this role that you have with one of the biggest, coolest labels in all of music. What would you tell that girl that's starting on her journey?
Don't take life too seriously, which I never have. You know, go with your gut. Your gut's never going to lead you wrong.
Yeah.
Your gut is
Amen.
Your instinct. I always say that. And always be honest with someone. I mean, that's the one thing Jerry taught me, is all artists. I mean, I've heard him tell artists, you're going to be better off going to Vegas and spending this money on a craps table than putting a record out. You're just not there. So learning, always being open to learn.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it too seriously. Work your ass off, and you're going to get to see the fruition of everything come your way.
Yeah.
And also, you're going to be able to see the careers of people that just started out with, you know, a guitar in an office just blow up. And you're going to have that satisfaction of knowing that you had that little minute part of bringing that to everyone in the masses of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just, you know, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
And networking.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah. If you go with vibes, if it's not a good vibe, turn around and walk off.
Yeah.
You know, but surround yourself with good people and network.
Yeah.
And you'll start seeing, and you'll notice it today, you'll see a lot of the same people in the same areas.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people you kind of want to be like, oh, okay, I'm noticing this, you know. I mean, I met you through, you know, Trey and Lance.
Yeah.
And now we're here, and, you know.
And then you popped out to one of our events about a week.
I know, and I was like, oh, shit, hey.
You're like, oh, you're hosting tonight.
And I'm so glad you are.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out really well. I got to ask you a Memphis question, because you guys are one of the barbecue capitals, and I've been to both places, and I love them both. And there might be a third or a fourth. I know there's a lot out there. Are you a Central girl, or are you a Rendezvous girl?
Oh, I'm Central.
You're Central all the way.
I was actually a Neely's.
Neely's. Okay, that I haven't been to or heard.
So Neely's was in Memphis. We had one here for a while.
Really?
Off of, I think it was off of Trinity, but it closed during COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could get some barbecue spaghetti that was off the fucking chain.
Barbecue spaghetti?
Dude. Barbecue
spaghetti. That has my munchy stoner mind going all kinds of places.
I know.
Barbecue spaghetti.
Barbecue spaghetti and rib tips.
Ooh.
Oh, man, I miss the Neely's. But yeah, Central. Central all the way.
Okay.
Memphis Central. No disrespect to
Nashville.
It's not
the same. I've been over there. It ain't the same.
That's not the same.
It's cool that it's here, but it's not the same. It's
yeah,
not
but
the
my family, we whenever I go back, we try to get together and hit up Summer Avenue and Central Barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I went out there was I helped out with my buddy. I was helping my buddy Ethan at the time, and he was opening a show for Frank Foster.
Yeah.
We were at Minglewood Hall, and it was my first time in Memphis, and we went to Beale Street after, and I was like, this is wild. I was like, Frank, like, but then we went to Rendezvous, and then my next trip out there, I was with the Muscadine guys, and we had Central, and I was like, these are both very, very good.
Yeah. Rendezvous, I'm sorry, it's just overrated.
Yeah.
Why you want to eat some dry ribs?
Yeah, it's like a tourist trap. Yeah.
I'm like, dude. No, the sloppier the better. And I mean, it's to the point now that when I get ribs or wings and I know I'm going to eat, I will take rubber gloves.
Yeah, because you have to be wet. They give you the wet naps for a reason.
Yeah, but no, I won't, because I will get it all in my fingernails. And, but yeah, people look at me crazy because I got like on these blue latex gloves.
You got to be prepared. You're a pro. You know how to do it.
Yeah.
You're a Memphis girl.
You got to leave it down to the bone.
Yes, you know how to eat ribs.
Yeah. That's like Tua for ribs. You got to get it to the bone.
Where are some of the spots that you like going in Nashville? Because you've been out here so long and you've seen this city grow, and you've seen different areas come up. Like the Gulch wasn't the Gulch 10 years ago. 12 South wasn't 12 South. Like Midtown was a very different look. There used to be a damn Shoney's across from Tin River.
Like, oh, I
very
know.
Very different place.
I mean, everything's changed, because back in the day it was a tin roof.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's where we went for lunch. And then it was Rebar on Thursdays and Fridays. There was a crew of us that would just, I mean, we had our designated seats. I mean, you know, I'm still good friends with Gina, who is my bartender there. You know, but now as far as like eating spots
or eating or just going or just going or just anywhere. Going anywhere. Yeah, like where are some spots?
I know it's Nashville Palace has like researched.
You become a Music Valley girl. Yeah. There's something special about that place.
Yeah, I'm digging it. And then that's my one go-to. Like if we want to go out and just hang.
Yeah.
Monell's as far as food.
Oh, that's a one of a kind experience.
That's a one of a kind. I take every programmer that comes in town, they know we're going to Monell's. Yeah. It's known. I do like, what's the name of it? We were just there.
What part of town?
There's one in East Nashville. There's one. This is what I get for smoking weed. No, I'm not lying, dude. And no caffeine. We're gonna backtrack. Hugh Babies.
Oh, Hugh Babies.
You know, Hugh
Babies. Burger, that saucy burger, pretty good.
Yeah, and you know it's owned by Martin's. Really? Martin's Barbecue.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense why it's here in Nashville.
Yeah, so Martin's Barbecue and Hugh Babies. And Duck Blind is one of my new favorites.
It's a cool room. And we're loving being there and the way that they connected it to Losers. So they bars feed each other.
Oh, I know.
Us getting to be in there. And it's like the people that just pop up in there. Riley's at almost all of our events, which is really cool because he is like the top arena amphitheater guy right now. Because like the Morgans and the Lukes of the world, they're doing X amount of shows. It makes sense. If you do stadium shows, there's only so many stadium shows you can do in a year. But as far as the arena and shed guys, he's like at the top and he's been gracious to us. But like Uncle Bob, Kid Rock will just pop up in there.
Yeah.
Freaking Gavin DeGraw or like a random person. Snoop Dogg and Ernest were in there the other night.
Oh, like, I know. Like, I'm so jealous, dude. Yeah. You don't understand. I love me some Snoop.
Yeah. But that's like the culture of that Steve has built with Losers is he wants the artists to feel like that they can come here and it's like their green room and they can get treated like they would on the road before a show and have that secure. And they want to pop out and be with the people, pop out and be with the people. They want to have a private area to hang out. They get a private area to hang out. You know, it's awesome to get to be in that family and grow within that. Like it's been pretty legendary. So appreciate you. All the phones are going off now.
I know.
That's what happens when you link your phone to your computer.
Everything goes off. I know. I'm dinging.
How busy does your phone get doing what you do?
Well, actually, it gets pretty busy, you know, with programmers calling. And I did the two lines on one phone with Verizon. So I've got a business line and a personal line.
Yeah.
And, it's like I've got to keep up with text messages from both. Yeah. And it's just, it'll ding.
And it becomes close to a 24-hour job. Like especially when it's like pushing season. Is there a time of year where songs tend to do better? Like I know everybody says that like summer is country season nationwide.
And this is like my real, I guess, first summer at Big Loud. So yes, it's starting to get busy. I was always, it kind of falls after CMAs, CMTs, and ACMs.
Right after the awards.
After the awards when like everybody releases new music. And one thing I used to tell independent artists is like in the winter, release something with tempo because everybody's releasing ballads.
Yeah, so mix it up. Get your thing to stand
because
out.
They're like, I need tempo, tempo, tempo. And in the summer, do a ballad because everybody's got tempo.
Yeah.
You know, so find it and kind of work your way in because you go the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got on here too. You won an award 2 years ago, CRS, Independent Promotion Executive of the Year. How important is CRS to country music on the label side, on the artist side, on the, of course, the radio side? It's like a big family reunion of all your country radio people.
It is, and I look at it as like a big high school reunion almost.
Yeah, getting to see all my people so long.
Yeah, and getting to see everybody and the changes that have come through. I mean, back in the day, you had the Super Faces show. On Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday night, you had a Super Faces show. And that would be all like your A-list artists would do a show specifically for the CRS people. And then Friday night, you'd have your New Faces show.
Which you still have, yeah.
Which we still have. You know, I can remember my mother talks about Tracy Lawrence's New Faces show and how it was the best one she ever saw. I mean, you know, mine goes to Trent Tomlinson's New Faces show.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was, you know, I guess like my really first like big experience with the New Face that I love his writing.
Yeah.
So just CRS in the relationships that you have, I mean, it's really important to labels. It's really important to radio. It's important important because you've got one central place where you can bring your new artists and introduce them to radio in one spot.
As opposed to traveling
miles and
miles.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, they have the luncheon. So you've got like the Warner lunch.
Yep.
You've got the Big Machine lunch and the UMG at the Ryman. You know, and Big Loud, we have our room where we bring in different artists.
Everybody's got the suite, and you create that intimate relationship, and it's so important to build that, because then when you do go around on radio tour, there's already that introduction, and the artists are excited to see the radio guys, and the radio guys and girls are excited to see the artists.
Exactly. I mean, and back, 2018 in the Big Loud room, you know, there was Morgan, Hardy, and Chris Lane just mulling around in there, you know. And so you get to see the artists that are going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And you know, radio loves, I mean, it's a party. Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, the radio folks know how to party. I learned that early on.
Oh, yeah. You've got to pace yourself. I learned that. I mean, it's like every other year. It's like the odd years, I end up really sick, like with COVID or the flu or something. The even years, I have like an epic hangover story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had COVID this year, so now I got to work on the epic hangover.
Yeah, everybody ends. Yeah, people keep the, there's the IV stations, and they've learned how to.
They do. Keep going. Yeah. There have been, before they brought those in, I used to take a couple of my guys, and we'd go get the IVs down at Church Street.
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be to the point, I mean, like, I would always save my Phenagrin from when I was like really sick or something, and I'd like break it and take a quarter of it the night before of a big drunk, and I was fine the next day.
Yeah, keep it for your CRS supply.
Oh yeah,
you need
it. Oh
yeah. So you talked about the Big Loud roster's incredible on all sides, and you mentioned like Charles and Cassius and Ashley. Who are some folks that like you're really excited about at the company right now? Because you guys have Morgan on there. You have that.
Yeah.
The Morgan Hardy. Earnest tree that, which is cool for you because it, and for Seth and everybody, because one, it's awesome to be up there and have that caliber of artists, but for those guys to have grown within the company under Craig, under the old FGL days, like it's all like a tree coming down. But who are some people that you got, you specifically very excited about, very excited to take to radio and push?
So, well, you know, we now have Big Loud Texas.
Yeah, which is awesome. I love how Texas has bridged. Texas and Nashville are bridged together because you remember when it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, yeah.
Texas radio would not play if you had Nashville attached, even though your songs were being written in Nashville.
I know. So God love, you know, Brent Miranda and all those guys for doing that. But Jake Worthington.
Oh, he's unbelievable. God. He's Mark Chestnut vibes all the way.
Incredible. God love him. Got a new song coming. Lauren Watkins.
Oh, she's great. I had her on the pod years back. She's been one. She used to play the rounds and stuff
too. Yeah,
she's
love her. Dog Park is one of our rock artists.
Oh, yeah, you get to experience the rock thing. You guys are early on the rock imprint.
Yeah, and Stephen Wilson Jr. Cuckoo! Yeah. I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Love
him. Insane. I had him on back when we used to do this pod, back when I did my Outside the Round podcast in my spare bedroom, and I just had two little cameras set up. I had Stephen Wilson Jr. on that like 3 years ago.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my most viewed episodes to date. 2022 with Stephen Wilson Jr.
Yeah.
And that was when we talked about his dad with the boxing alien things and crop circles.
Oh, yeah.
He had just put out 1994. It was like to see where he's at. And he's in a whole world of his own. So to get to craft that story to radio has got to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Lois and Steven, Dylan Gossett.
Yeah.
Digging some Dylan. And, of course, you know, I'm a huge Dallas Smith. Dallas is great, and Mackenzie Porter, and then Thelma and James.
Yeah, that's really cool what they're doing with that duo stuff.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
So, I mean, there's so much, and it's just great, and just to see, you know, all these artists coming in. And just, it's such a plethora of music and such a wide variety of music, you know. I mean, even I'm really starting to get more familiar with the rock label. I've been streaming that more.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, Zoe Coe?
Dexter and the Moonrocks are
Dexter and the Moonrocks.
I love those guys. I love them. I haven't had the pleasure of like hanging in person on our Rowdy Alternative channel that we have. Our boy Sam, who runs that, has had them on his podcast a few times and done a number of articles on them. They're one of our like favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I know I've been, you were asking me a question a little bit ago about trends and who I see coming up.
Yeah.
And it just hit me, females.
Yeah.
I think the next female that's about to pop off is Maggie Ball.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And I remember her playing on Broadway when I moved here. I worked security at Whiskey Row as a door guy my first year because nobody would hire me to work at the radio station. So I was like, I guess I'm going to be a bouncer now.
Yeah.
And Maggie used to play at Whiskey Row all the time, and she'd get up on the bar and rip that fiddle.
Oh, man. She is so talented in her songwriting, and she just got off tour with Keith Urban.
Yeah.
She's been, you know, Keith's utility girl forever. But yeah, that's a she's going to be the next. Somebody needs to snatch her up quick.
And again, the attitude of like this bad bitch, I'm not taking your shit mentality. I got something to say and you're damn well going to listen. And oh yeah, I can rip on the fiddle too.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this story, Maggie, so forgive me if I do. But anyway, I'm so impressed with her because the night before her big album release, her boyfriend broke up with her. After like 4 years or something, or forever. Yeah. They were planning on moving in together. And he was her lead guitar player.
So she had to find...
She learned everything herself 24 hours before the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And pulled that show off. I had no idea anything was wrong. I just wondered where he was.
Yeah.
And when I said something, she came to my house the next day and she told me what happened. I was like, motherfucker. I was like, good for you pulling that off. You know, I mean, it was great. I mean, but she's my baby. She's the one I want to see just pop off next.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I wonder, do we have a Memphis update?
You know,
they were up by 8. I wanna check on this because it's a big deal,
I'm gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. It's a good day. It's gonna be a good day.
It's gonna be a good day. Did the Tigers pull it off?
Well, I need it final today. Oh, we pulled it off by 3.
Let's go. Oh, go Tigers. Yeah. Go Tigers. Let's get those pennies.
Fight.
Hell yeah. I love it. I love it. Beating Wichita. That was the quarterfinal, so we got one more win, and then you can wear the... You can break out the pennies.
I know. Break out my shoes. I know. Damn. Yeah, I'm excited, awesome. So that's good.
That's awesome.
That's good. Good
Lisa,
day.
I appreciate you so much taking the time to come out here.
No, thank
Old
you.
Hickory,
I appreciate
Tennessee,
it.
And,
I love
and
it.
And it's so cool to get to make connections with folks like you, because I've always dreamed of being on the radio side, and that's what got me into this. And same with you. And then the years of doing promotions and the years still doing it now to be at a label like you are and doing what you're doing. It's so cool to watch your story evolve and just to hear all the stories of all the years of breaking out, watching Aldine with Y, watching Morgan from, hearing FGL Cruz in The Office.
Like, I know.
It's legendary.
I've been really privileged and I wouldn't give anything for it. And it just proves that you're never too old to do what you love.
Yeah.
And never too old to learn new things.
Yeah. Amen.
So, yeah. Just get out there and hustle. Look, I can't drop it like it's hot, but I will work it till it's warm. I will get my one good leg with my one good knee.
Amen.
And work it until I fall
Amen.
Out.
Amen. That's a campaign slogan right there. I will work it till it's warm.
That's right.
Hell yeah. That's great. But... big thanks to you for coming
on
here.
No, thank you for having me. Thank
and,
you.
Yeah, we're trying to grow the music business pod part of it, and we're about 30-something episodes deep, and we've had, you're one of our first, like, radio world people that we've had on, so it's really cool to hear all
that's
your knowledge.
That's a lot to lay on me now.
No, no, you laid on some knowledge.
I don't know about all that.
That was no, you did. You did, and such a good hang, and anytime we can do anything on the Raised Rowdy side, we're always down to work with you, sis. Yeah, we appreciate you.
But thank you. This has been great. I've had a lot of fun. This is like living my dream, getting to be on the radio, on a podcast.
Got you on the mic.
That's right.
Hell yeah. Well, shout out to our girl Lisa Smoot for coming on, and go check out all the big loud artists. And you're in a small town. Call up your radio station and tell them to play some
Charles Wesley Godwin and some Cassius Culpepper and some Ernest and some Stephen Wilson Jr.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. But you guys can find out more. Where'd be a good place if somebody did want to reach out? Would it be the email?
You can,
if there's just people that have questions, I like to offer that.
Yeah, no, use my, I'm going to give my personal email.
Oh, wow.
And then, Yeah, so, yeah, it's really easy.
What is it?
It's Married to Smoot, MarriedToSmoot at gmail.com.
MarriedToSmoot@gmail.com. If you are interested in getting in the radio promotions world or want to ask any questions or want to have a good time in town and know where to get your barbecue at.
That's right. And girl. I'm on all socials. It's all Married to Smoot, but Married not my TikTok because it was hacked yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My TikTok guy. They changed my phone number, my password, my log. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's okay. But my Instagram's still good. So, but that's yeah, Married to Smoot. Can't miss me.
Married to Smoot. If you have any questions about the radio promotions world or just life in general,
hit up our girl, Lisa. Yeah.
And for more on us, visit RageReality.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. I'm going to send you home with some of them Surfside teas where you can drink. We have the green teas and the regular iced teas and all of that stuff. And we're going to hook you up with some hats, too, or you can take some
Okay, but now we won. I'll swap my hat out.
There you go. You got the good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck in there.
So, but, good deal.
Thank you guys, as always, for watching. For my girl Lisa, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Behind the Music Biz.